This is Matt Wells at UN News. Too many states are using legitimate public concerns about terrorism as an excuse to target individuals or communities they don't like. That's the blunt view of Ahmed Shahid, UN Special Rapporteur on Freedom of Religion or Belief, who was at UN headquarters this week to deliver a report to the UN General Assembly. When he sat down to talk to UN News' Siwen Xian from our Chinese service, Mr. Shahid emphasised the need to balance counter-terrorism measures with rights protection, saying that countries like China had a responsibility to ensure freedom of religion and belief.
The right to freedom of religion and belief is a very, very broad right, and it is one that is frequently misunderstood. It is a universal human right, and therefore it's individuals or groups of individuals who are entitled to it. It doesn't therefore protect religions per se. Everyone is entitled to the freedom of thought, conscience, religion or belief. And this right covers theistic, atheistic, non-theistic, as well as non-religious beliefs. On one part of the right, which is what we may believe, we call it the forum internum, that is totally beyond interference by the state, by anybody. The other part of the right, which is the public manifestation of that right, which can be done either alone or in community with other people, in worship, observance, teaching and practice, can be limited, but only on the grounds of public safety, public order, public health, public morals, and the rights of others. But even so, it must meet the limitations regime provided for in international law.
Your report to the General Assembly highlights protecting freedom of religion or belief while combating terrorism. Why is this your main concern?
Well, it is one of my main concerns, of course, the main concern in the current report. And that is because, as I say in my report, there is a growing upsurge of violations of the right to freedom of religion or belief on account of the so-called war on terrorism. Many states are in fact using the legitimate concerns people have about terrorism to target very broadly individuals or communities they don't like, or maybe critical or maybe dissidents. So there is that wide abuse of that deliberately. At the same time, there are also those cases in which there may be no attempt to deliberately violate the rights, but the measures are so broad, so broadly formulated, that they end up violating a whole range of rights, including the right to freedom of religion or belief. And what's important to note here, of course, is that, first of all, you cannot have liberal community building, which is what human rights are all about, without respecting the right to freedom of religion or belief. That's one. The others also, of course, recognize that by respecting the right to freedom of religion or belief, you create the cohesion in society which is going to be helpful in addressing issues of violent extremism.
As you said, that some measures, either deliberate or not, target specific religious groups or communities. Could you maybe give us some examples?
Yes, I do give a lot of examples in my report. You know, some of the most frequent ones are, for example, the refusal to register some groups of persons on the allegation that their views are somehow extremist or somehow lead to extremism or violent extremism. So denial of registration for certain groups is one of these ways in which the laws have been used. Interference in internal affairs of various religious institutions, trying to decide state interfering as to who should be the imam or the leader of that group. But equally disturbing is the fact that in some cases, states are trying to actually interfere in the forum internum, that some sorts of beliefs are detected ostensibly by some measures, by some outward appearance, and they attribute that appearance to certain belief, which they then claim are evidence of extremism that can lead to violence. So a whole range of activities are there, denying the fundamental rights guaranteed by international law. For example, in the 1981 Declaration on Religion, Article 6 contains a whole range of rights state must guarantee. Many of these are violated in the overly broad measures taken in the name of fighting violence, terrorism.
In current public discussions, there are some people who are saying that governments actually should impose some sort of limitations to a religious freedom in order to achieve greater public security. What is your response to that?
I think this debate is badly conceived, conceptualized here. Of course, states must ensure that people are protected against violence for whatever reason. There is an obligation on the part of the state to protect people from violence. But limiting freedom of religion or belief as a human right is different from limiting, imposing restrictions on certain religious practices. Now, international law under the right to freedom of religion or belief does not protect every action deemed to be linked to a religious teaching. It only protects those actions which don't harm the rights of others, don't undermine public safety, public order, health, and so on. So in that formulation, then to argue that we must impose further restrictions on these rights is misconceived. National security is not a ground permissible under international law to limiting freedom of religion or belief. But many of these are framed as national security measures. So we should recognize that it is in those situations when states are able to respect freedom of religion or belief that you have a cohesion in society and resilience against extremism. When states try to undermine those rights, try to restrict them, then they end up creating more tension, more unhappiness, more alienation, and then, of course, more conflict.
How can governments and societies to counter terrorism, right, ensure public safety without infringing on the freedom of religion or belief?
There are many ways of doing this. Of course, first of all, we should again recognize that human rights law protects only peaceful activities. Human rights law cannot be deployed to perpetrate violence against others, to discriminate against other people, or for any oppressive purpose. So when we look at freedom of religion or belief as a human right, it only covers peaceful activities. Of course, some would say, well, there are some religious teachings which propagate hatred towards others. Of course, it's a problem. But we again have to apply international human rights standards here. The Rabat plan of action actually identifies the threshold at which states should and can limit speech. Article 20 of the Covenant on Civil and Political Rights requires states to prohibit speech that amounts to incitement to violence and discrimination against other people. So that is something we have to do, but only when it meets that threshold. There are many ways of protecting communities while respecting human rights. And one of the key things here is to recognize that whatever limitation that states want to impose on any human right, including freedom of religion or belief, must meet the limitations regime. This is to make sure that those limitations are justifiable under any of those prohibited grounds. But even if it does, the restriction must be clearly stated in law, so somebody will know when that boundary has been reached and therefore avoid that. It must also be proportionate to the end being served. It must also be non-discriminatory. Of course, there should be a judicial oversight and access to remedy when they are violated. So when these requirements are met, you have both human rights framework respected and better security. And also should realize that the both are mutually reinforcing. They are not projects that are divergent. They actually contribute to greater societal resilience, peace, and harmony.
Right now, anti-terrorism and public security is a main concern of everybody in the world. In this context, are you positive about the future of the freedom of religion or belief, or are you really concerned?
Well, I am positive about the future, but I should also add that there are very serious concerns at the present time about the state of health with regard to this right. I'm not saying at any time things are so rosy that this right was so protected. It's always a difficult right. But at the present time, not only do we have issues linked to countering violent extremism, we also have a growth of intolerance for a variety of bases, xenophobia, the growing diversity amongst communities, the increasing role of religion in public life. All these are contributing to more anxieties amongst communities, and some of them are framed in ways to undermine human rights. So it is, in that sense, a very challenging time. I have called this a new age of intolerance. But on the positive side, one of the most positive things is the growing investment by states in respecting and promoting freedom of religion or belief. An increasing number of countries are appointing governmental focal points to look at this subject. They call them envoys or ambassadors, but there's growing investment in this. This July, we had a summit in Washington, the first ministerial level meeting to protect freedom of religion or belief. So there's growing interest by states in this, and also a number of platforms the UN has devised to address the issue, like the Istanbul process, the Rabat Plan of Action, the Faith for Rights Initiative, and of course what the faith-based communities themselves, including humanists, are doing to create more awareness, document violations, find solutions, and increase dialogue and to promote respect for this right. So there is increasing recognition that we cannot have democracy, we cannot have liberal community building unless we respected a foundational right, which is respect for freedom of religion or belief.
The Chinese government's practice in this area has some room for improvement. Do you have any suggestions or advices?
First of all, as recognized in many of those people who document rights violations, China's situation has many reasons for concern. As I said, yesterday in the third committee debate, I think it's very important to document violations when they happen. That's vitally important on the part of those who are advocating for rights. And of course, on the part of the state, who's a duty bearer with regard to protecting this right, they must ensure not only do they respect the right, but also create transparency in knowing what's going on. So I really hope that China would engage more with the UN rapporteurs, especially those of my mandate and the associated mandates, those rights which are linked to respecting freedom of belief. So more engagement, more transparency are vitally important. At the same time, it's also important to recognize that China, as any other country, has international human rights obligations. They must be fully respected. I also call upon the Chinese government to plug the remaining gaps in their treaty commitments, ratify the treaties that they have not ratified so far, so there is a greater protection for this community, but also at the same time, not just paper protections, but effective ones, which are buttressed by transparency and engagement so people can actually know and have confidence that people are able to enjoy those rights. And also we should remember that throughout history, we have seen that when there has been repression on account of religion or belief, conflict ensues, conflict follows.
Is there anything that you would like to add?
I just want to assert the importance of religion in the broader sense, that is covering both humanist, atheist, and religious beliefs. The important role people's inner convictions have played in the formulation of the UDHR, and also the important role these convictions can play in protecting and generating and enhancing the framework. So we are living at a time when human rights are being pushed back. Everywhere we can see signs of that. And I am saying that respect for freedom of religion or belief in its broadest sense provides an emotional foundation for individuals and communities to rally behind human rights.